Deuteronomy chapter 6. This morning we're going to talk about grandparents. Grands, a legacy of faith. Grandparents are a part of God's design. They are made up as a part of His godly design for the family. Some of you in here are grandparents. Some of you are great-grandparents. Maybe a couple of you are great-great-grandparents. So you knew the blessing that comes from being a grandparent. Others of us in here are not yet grandparents. Maybe one day, many of you will be, even if you think it's way off in the future because you got real little kids or you don't have any kids yet. Or maybe you're one of our teenagers, you're not married yet, so that is foreign to you to be thinking about grandparents. But all of us have grandparents, and all of us have been influenced in some way by our grandparents. So I want to talk to you today about God's design for grandparents. My grandparents, on my father's side, my grandma, we called her Gram. Gram lived a long life. She was somebody who made sure that her kids went to church. She made sure that they did the right thing. Was she somebody who studied God's word? Probably not, other than just going to church. She was a great lady, but I don't know how strong of a faith she had in Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. That was not something that was necessarily discussed in her household. But her two kids and a third child were taught to go to church. My aunt, who lives in the same town that they grew up in, still goes to that same church. My grandfather on my dad's side, he actually passed away when my dad was just 7 and he was 41. And all that I know spiritually about him is that he also made sure that his two kids went to church. On my mother's side, my grandparents had more of a significant spiritual impact in our lives. My grandpa was somebody who trusted in the Word of God and lived it out. He was somebody who believed in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He was a lay leader in the Methodist Church in Western Pennsylvania all of his life, from early on. I even have one of his Bibles that he used to use, and he would go as a lay preacher on occasion to churches that needed somebody to come and share a message, and I have his notes in the margins of his Bibles of different messages that he preached in different places. He also ended up running a Methodist church camp. Some of you have been with us to Jamonville. My grandpa didn't found that ministry of the camp, but he ran it for a number of years, and I got to see him in all kinds of settings and see his godly influence on lots and lots of people because he lived out his faith. My grandma was the same way. My grandma was somebody who believed the Word of God, was quick to write that to us in a letter back before emails and cell phones and texting and all that kind of thing. I have several of her notes, and there are scriptures on just about every single note that she would send to us. We also saw her live out her faith anytime we were around her. She had the gift of hospitality, and she used it. She would invite anybody into her home. You could show up 5 minutes before dinner, and she would make sure that you got fed. She loved using her gift of hospitality, and she would always talk about the things that God has done. You've heard me use the phrase she used with us, God's perfect timing, and she would give us examples every time we were around her of how God had done something in His perfect timing in her life or in our lives, and we know she prayed for us. So that's my grandparents. They had an impact on me spiritually. I will say this, that my grandma on my dad's side, when my grandpa, who was, again, 41 when he died, my grandmother on that side remarried later on, my grandfather, my dad's stepfather, he did not believe the Bible. I think he went to church on occasion, but he was very steadfast that he did not believe the Bible. He did not believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And my parents, I remember us praying for that as a family. I remember both my mom and dad not only writing him letters and talking to him over the phone, sharing the gospel, but also in person. And he was adamantly against that. So whether or not he believed in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior before he died, only God knows that. But all of them have had an influence in my life. And grandparents are a part of God's plan. Let's look at it. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Some of you were here last week when Dr. Jones taught life studies, and you heard Dr. Jones use these verses. He had no idea that we were preaching on these today, but God did. And that's what God does. He brings things together. If you want to go back and listen to his lesson from last week, if you get our church email, it was in the Thursday email. We have a link there that you can click and go back to listen to Dr. Jones' lesson. And he camps here in Deuteronomy chapter 6. So join me in Deuteronomy 6, beginning in verse 1. God says, "Now this is the commandment, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you are going over to possess it, so that you and your son and your grandson might fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. O Israel, you should listen and be careful to do it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might. And these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your sons, and talk about them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. And you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." Some of you know the last few verses to be the Shema. We'll talk about those in a moment. But I want you to see that God has a plan for grandparents and his design for the family. Notice back in chapter 6, verse 1, he says, "Now this is the commandment, the statutes, and the judgments." Commandments are what God says, what he commands us to do. God never tells us anything to do that would harm us. All of his commands are done to protect us and to prove that he loves us, to show that, to demonstrate it. Obviously, he did that ultimately through his son, Jesus Christ, who came and died on a cross for our sins. We know that. But he gives commands just like parents give rules or guidelines or stipulations to their kids, not because they hate them, but because they love them. God commands. Notice he also uses the word statutes. Statute is what is prescribed, what is taught, something that needs to be followed. There he also uses the word judgment. Judgments are things that are corrections. When you and I do something that violates the word of God, there's a consequence for that. There can even be discipline. God disciplines those whom he loves. He can discipline us. He can correct us. That's a judgment. All three of those which the Lord has commanded Joshua to teach to the nation of Israel. But notice why he says to do that. That you might do them in the land that you're about to go into. Now remember the context here. The nation of Israel has been wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years because of their own disobedience against the commands of God. And so as they wander around, they're about to go into the promised land, in this context in Deuteronomy 6. God's preparing them to go in, and he wants them to remember the commands, the statutes, and the judgments so that they can live those out in the land that they're going into. They were not meant for them to just know about. They were not meant just for them to have experience with or to pass on to somebody else. They are there. God's word is there for us to live it out. Look in verse 2, "so that you and your son and your grandson." Most of us, when we live our life, we are not thinking about how our actions will affect our grandchildren. We are thinking about how it will impact me right now in this moment. But God says, and you'll see that in several cases this morning, that the design of the family is for a man and a woman to come together in marriage and be one. In the context of that marriage, children are to be born, thus creating a situation where those children, when mom and dad and the child have their hearts right before the Lord, that they too, the children, find a spouse. They found a godly spouse to come together as one, and they, in that context of marriage and God's design, produce children. They become grandchildren. That's all a part of God's design. Yes, I know we've messed that up tremendously. God's design is for spiritually the commands, the statutes, and the judgment that God has given us to live by and to do, to be passed from us to our children, and thus then to our grandchildren. Grandparents, you have a biblical responsibility towards your grandchildren. Notice what else he says here in verse 2. He says and so that you, your son, and your grandson might fear the Lord your God. Now, those of you who heard Dr. Jones last week, he camped on this word fear. He talked about two different meanings, if you remember that. If you weren't, then here are the two meanings. The first one means to be afraid. When we violate God's word, we should fear him. In our household growing up, if we violated the rules of the house that mom or dad set, then we knew there would be a consequence. There were not many warnings in our house. The warning was, don't do it. And then when you did what you weren't supposed to do, there was always a consequence. Whether that was a hand or a belt to your backside, whether that was extra chores, whatever my parents thought would get our attention so that we would remember the lesson, and when we were faced with that situation next time, not do it again, their goal was to correct us and to discipline us in that way. That's the same kind of fear here. I knew if I violated something at school and got in trouble at school, I knew I needed to fear my mother and my father when I got home, because they were not going to excuse it. They were not going to take my side over the teacher's side. They were always going to deal with me and the consequences that come from my disobedience or doing something dumb. That's the fear idea. There's also a second part of this word. It means to have awe and wonder about the majesty of God and who he is. That is also here. We need to understand it ourselves. We need to fear God, have a reverence for him, a respect for him. We also need to have an awe and a wonder of his majesty. We need to teach that to our children, who can also teach it to their children, our grandchildren. And we can reinforce that along the way in God's process. Okay? So that fear, he says, is a real thing. So that we will keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. The decisions that you make when you are young can impact the rest of your life. Many of us are living proof of that. Good, bad, or indifferent. Some of us made some poor choices growing up, and they have followed us into adulthood. Some of us made good choices when we were young and growing up, and they have followed us into adulthood. But most of us, when we were young, were not thinking about the fact that our actions in a moment in time could impact our grandkids. But that's what God says. What we do can impact our grandchildren. You'll see that again in a few minutes. Verse 3, O Israel. Don't miss that. Did you see that? O Israel, he says in verse 3. In other words, he's speaking to the whole nation. Well, he's speaking to people that I'm not a part of. Well, you are, because he was speaking to the nation of God. And if you're a believer in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, then you're grafted in to the family of God, and so he's speaking to us, in a sense. He's speaking to all of God's people. O Israel, you should listen and be careful to do it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, in a land flowing with milk and honey, the promised land, or Israel. And then, those of you who've been with us for a number of years, we've learned the Shema together, but Shema is a Hebrew word. That means in English, hear. Most of our translations, and starting in verse 4, start with the word hear. Hear, O Israel. Hear, people of God. The Lord our God is the one. There is no other God. You don't need to pretend in something else. You don't need to try to figure out another way to get a good luck charm or bow to somebody else. There is one true God, and we make that declaration. I don't need anybody else. I only need God. And then he says, you shall love the Lord your God with all that you are, with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might. We all know that when we get that on our heart, it makes a difference. When we learn to love God with all of our being, then it makes a difference. When we're just doing it because it's just part of the routine and we check it off the list, then it doesn't mean the same thing. Look at verse 6. And these words, the words of God, the commands of God, which I am commanding you today, shall be on your, not brain, not your to-do list, but on your heart. Your heart matters, because if it's on your heart, you do it automatically. It's what flows out of you. You can't do what you don't have. You can't be who you are not. And that comes from your heart, from your being. If we want to have an influence on our children and our grandchildren in a godly way, and our heart is not godly, then we can't have the same impact on them. We can talk to them about God. We can encourage them with God. But if our heart doesn't belong to God and we aren't following His words from our heart, then we can't have the same spiritual impact that God intends, parents and grandparents. Then He says, you shall teach them diligently. Teach diligently means impress upon them. Not hit them over the head with it, but teach them in a way that gets a hold of their heart, that gives them an opportunity to grab a hold of it. Diligently to your sons or your children, talk of it. Talk about the Word of God when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. That's all day long. When's the last time you talked with your kids or your grandkids about the things of God? Or what about you're just talking about the things of God with people on the phone or in a conversation around the dinner table at a restaurant or at home, and your kids and your grandkids, they hear that. That impacts them. Sometimes your grandparents have a greater impact spiritually than even the parents do. Don't dismiss that. Some of you know that you are walking with the Lord today because of the impact of your grandparents that they had on you. Verse 8, He says, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand. We've said this before, your hands are in front of you all day long. If the Word of God is in front of you all day long, whether you acknowledge it or not, it is there in front of you. He says, put them as frontals on your forehead. You don't see your forehead unless you're looking in a mirror, but everybody else that you come in contact with during the day sees your forehead. In other words, they seeing and knowing that you belong to God. And you shall write them on the doorpost of your house, what you possess, where you live, where you dwell. When people come there, do they know? Can they sense when they walk in the door that this house, as we declared from Joshua 24:15 earlier, that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord? Do people come into your house and know that by what they hear, by what they see, by how you interact with them? And you shall also write them on your gates. In other words, everything that you own and possess should be something that you recognize and acknowledge and other people see belongs ultimately to God. And you're just being a steward of what He has given you. God has a plan for grandparents. I want you to see it in multiple contexts. Go with me to Psalm 103. If you would turn there, Psalm 103. I want you to be challenged, but I also want you to be encouraged. No matter what your age of life is, God has a plan for grandparents. Psalm 103, verse 17. But the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to children's children, to those who keep His covenant and who remember His precepts to do them. Loving kindness is goodness, kindness, and faithfulness all wrapped up together. God's loving kindness, look at what He says, His loving kindness is from everlasting to everlasting. Most of us stop there. That's who God is. He is full of loving kindness, and it is from here to eternity. There's nothing you can do to change that. And His righteousness to your grandchildren. It continues to extend. What if there's another generation? Well, it goes to them too. But your biblical responsibility is to your children and to your grandchildren. You follow me? That's part of God's design. You have a biblical responsibility to live rightly before the Lord and help them experience His loving kindness and know about living in right standing with Him through Jesus Christ to your children and to your grandchildren. Notice that He says in verse 18, to those who keep His covenant. A covenant is any agreement. You say, well, I've never made an agreement with God. If you read His word and you apply the word of God, you've made an agreement with Him. You say, God, I see your word and I believe it and I'm going to use it. You've made an agreement with Him. Okay? And who remember His precepts to do them. A precept is a commandment or a teaching. If we're following God's word, then we're living in his design. Again, grandparents, you have a biblical responsibility spiritually to your children and to your grandchildren. Go over a couple of pages to Proverbs chapter 17, verse 6. We're going to hit some rapid fire here just so we can see the role of grandparents in several places. Proverbs 17, verse 6. Grandchildren are the crown of old men, and the glory of sons is their fathers. Oh, God must have forgotten grandmothers. No, he didn't. Remember, God's design is for a husband and a wife to come together as one in marriage, following God's design. Children to be born within that marriage. Those children grow up, find a godly spouse. After following the Lord, they are to produce children in God's design. There's grandchildren. Okay? This is for grandparents. Grandchildren are the crown of old men. A crown signifies joy and dignity. Those of you who are grandparents know what it means to experience joy and dignity when you look at or hold your grandchild. The word grandchildren here is literally child in Hebrew. In other words, the children of the children. Your children's children are your grandchildren. And notice what else he says at the end of that verse. And the glory of sons is their fathers. The idea here is that all of us are desiring to live and doing our best to live in right relationship with the Father. A mom, a dad, teach their children to learn to love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. The children see that in mom and dad, not just hear it, but they see it. And then the goal is that they would pass that on to their children with encouragement from their parents or the kids' grandchildren. It's part of God's design. Go back a couple of pages to Proverbs 13, verse 22. Proverbs 13, verse 22. Proverbs 13, verse 22. God's word says, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. The word good man here means someone who's valuable, somebody who's agreeable, someone who's doing the right thing before God. A good man leaves an inheritance. The word inheritance literally means possessions, but it also can mean a heritage. All of us know that if all you leave your children and your grandchildren is stuff, and they don't know the Lord, that stuff can get in a big way and cause them all kinds of problems. If their heart doesn't belong to the Lord, they can use all of that stuff for evil. It's not about the stuff. It is about the opportunity to leave a godly legacy, a heritage, to your grandchildren. That's way more important than you leaving them a big bank account that they can spend on their pleasures. It's way more important than you leaving them a business that they may run into the ground because they never had any interest in it and you didn't teach them how to take care of it or raise somebody up to do that. It's way more important if you and I teach them to learn to love the Lord, and follow him, and then raise children that'll do the same and continue that discipleship process. That's part of God's plan. Look what he says at the end of verse 22. And the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. The wealth here means strength or efficiency, might. The strength of those who look like on the outside from an earthly perspective that they're winning because they seem to be doing really well in earthly standards does not measure up in spiritual standards if they're not pursuing the Lord. Don't be dissuaded by those who look like from earthly standpoints that they are doing better than you. If you're following the Lord and you're encouraging your children to do that, and you are spiritually impacting in a positive way your grandchildren, that is a greater legacy than if you left them hundreds of millions of dollars and they never had to work a day in their life. But too many of us focus on that physical stuff. Last verses, go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Some of you thought of these verses as soon as I started talking about grandchildren, grandparents. 2 Timothy chapter 1, the context here is that young Timothy is having a letter written to him by his mentor, Paul. 1 Timothy is the first letter, and this second letter is in the beginning of the letter, he's encouraging Timothy. He is pointing out some things that he appreciates about him. And then we pick up the letter in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. God's word says, "For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well." Look at what Paul encourages. "I am mindful of the sincere faith that is within you." In other words, he doesn't just show up and go to church. He doesn't carry a big Bible with him so that other people will be impressed by the size of his Bible. He doesn't just quote a verse because we're learning it on during the summer. But his heart, his sincere faith, his complete trust in God the Father is real, and it's being lived out and it's being evidenced, not just in what is said, but what is done. Not just in what Paul sees, but what he hears from other people. The witnesses that are around him. "I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois." Does that mean that she didn't have a godly influence? Maybe. Because Paul says here, "which first dwelt." He doesn't say dwelt, he says first dwelt. So maybe Lois is the first time in the history of that family that somebody stood up and said, "I and my household are going to serve the Lord." She may not have had that background where her dad or her mom or her grandparents influenced her in a positive way spiritually as she grew up. It may have just been because of the wording, first. She may have been the first one to stand up and say, "This is what I'm going to do." That should be encouragement to all of us, no matter what our circumstances in life. You can start now saying, "As for me and my house, those who will come after me, I'm going to do everything I can to pray for them, encourage them, and teach them in the ways of God so that they can follow him with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so my great, 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 great grandchildren that I'll never see this side of eternity will have an impact for the kingdom for good." So he says to him here, "your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice." So we know that Lois passed it on to Eunice, her daughter. She passed it on in a godly way, and now Timothy's mother has then passed it on to him. Where are the dads? Have no idea. Were they a positive influence? Don't know. He doesn't say. But what he does say here is that grandma and mom had a godly influence in his life, and they are the biggest reason that he has a sincere faith today. Because of their influence, he's where he is now. What's the point? The point is, God has a plan for grandparents. And his plan, ultimately, is to use you to have a spiritual impact in the lives of your kids and your grandkids. And your kids are grown and they're out of your house and they're taking care of their own kids. Your parenting should completely change. Let them parent their own kids, but you can have a godly influence in their lives. Some people say, "Well, I'm not around my grandkids." You can pray for them. I've heard it a million times, or at least 100,000 times. People tell me the reason that I'm following Christ today is because I had a praying grandma or a grandpa back there that I knew prayed for me. And because of her faith, now I'm believing in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior because God heard those prayers and I responded to that. That influence in my life that my grandmother way back there was praying for. All of us have somebody like that in our path. Maybe you're the praying grandparent. Well, I can't be with my grandkids. You can pray for them. You can write them letters. You can text them. My mom is a grandmother to 8, and she goes by the grandma name Honey. And several years ago, when the kids were younger, she told me that she wanted to learn to text. I'm like, "Mother, you don't need to learn to text." She said, "No, I don't want my grandchildren to forget me when they grow up and go off to college." I thought, "Mom, they're honey. They're never going to forget you. They love you. They're always going to respect you." She has always had a positive spiritual influence in their lives. But I have watched over the years, now that all of them are pretty much adults now, and some of them are married, They all respect her spiritually because she uses texting and emails to send them all kinds of scriptures, all kinds of encouragement. She asked them, "What can I be praying for you about this week?" And I watched them a couple of weeks ago when we were together for my nephew's wedding. I heard it several times just in general conversation where one of the grands would come to Honey and tell her, "Hey, Honey, remember how we were praying for this situation? This is how God answered it. Hey, Honey, remember how you shared with me that verse when I was struggling with this situation? God helped me with that because that verse helped me." And she does the same thing with her children, me being included. That influence that you can have spiritually will last and move on forever and ever, even if they don't acknowledge the spiritual influence. What about gifts you give them? You ever thought about giving them a gift that would influence them spiritually rather than physically? There are things that you can do that would bless them and benefit them spiritually in their walk with the Lord, even if it ends up on a shelf in their closet. But maybe later on in their life, God reminds them of that gift and that influence of their grandparents that impacts their life spiritually in a positive way. You can't make their heart believe, but you can help encourage their heart along the right path. Grandparents are a part of God's design for the family. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you today for grandparents. I thank you for the influence that the grandparents in my life have had. Father, I thank you for the grandparents that are in this room today. And I thank you for the spiritual influence that they have had and will have in the lives of their grandchildren. Father, I pray that you would encourage them. I pray that you'd give them creative ideas. And Father, I pray that you would give them specific ways to pray for their grandchildren. Thank you, Father, that you care about the spiritual influence of grandparents on their grandchildren. Father, I know that there are many in this room who are not yet grandparents. Some of them are way far away from that. Father, I pray that you would help us all to remember the influence of our grandparents, especially those who spiritually encouraged us or challenged us. Father, I pray that we would pray for ourselves and for our own kids, that when you raise them up and you allow them to be grandparents, that they would have a godly spiritual influence in the lives of their grandchildren. Father, help us to recognize that decisions that we make, even when we're young, can spiritually impact our grandchildren as a part of your design. And so, Father, we thank you for that. Challenge us and encourage us with your word today. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.